Crisis communications is a complex science. There's a lot more to it than simply answering media or partner questions during a stressful situation. This series of edited discussions about crisis communication theory and practice is intended to help you refine your ability to manage, respond to, and ultimately survive a crisis. I'm Robert Johnson, your host for today's conversation, presented by the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials and the National Public Health Information Coalition. Each module considers a different aspect of crisis communications management, as explained by an expert or experts in the field. These discussions are produced to summarize the written and visual materials that accompany each topic. In this module, we explore the many ways you can build effective partner networks that are so important during a crisis. Our guest has been building networks most of her life. Benita Harris McBride engages communities and health equity issues for the CDC. The conversation is based on a presentation that you can find as part of this module. It includes a recording of the live presentation, complete with audience questions. Now, our discussion with Benita Harris McBride. You've done a lot of different projects in the communities where you live and work, including your support of COVID-19 vaccination initiatives during the pandemic.
It has been about 18 months that this work has been going on. With the pandemic, it was boots on the ground, pumps on the ground, all hands on deck. And so with the resources that was provided through the appropriation dollars for Congress, we were able to quickly work with some of our partners and contractors to set up these particular platforms and interactive maps so that our recipients would be able to access and use them.
The idea of partnerships can sound intimidating, but in reality, the beginning of a partnership, you say, doesn't have to be overwhelming at all.
It starts small. It starts with that person to the left or to the right of you sitting on the pew. It's about engaging. It's about those initial conversations. Because we've already put a lot of the resources out there, for example, to work with and deal with and address community engagement and community level efforts to address issues concerning the pandemic. For example, we've developed a guide for jurisdictions on how to implement community-based strategies. We've developed a guide so that jurisdictions can know how to expand COVID-19 vaccine distributions through primary care. But that guide and that roadmap, even though it says COVID-19, can be generalized to just about anything. We also have a guide for community partners and even a best practice two-pagers. Those are some resources and tools that are information-based that can also serve to empower and inform and encourage those to take that initial step just to engage in that first conversation that can snowball into many.
Partnerships are something that require a lot of work on the part of everyone involved, but you say the rewards go both ways.
The most fulfilling and rewarding aspect of this work for me is being able to participate as a community member and witness vaccine equity partnership in action. While national guidances, presentations, and funded initiatives are helpful, the real work to advance health equity happens within individual communities, including our own. As a member of Grace Place Church of God by Faith in Clayton County, Georgia, I was able to extend my work at CDC to my own community and leverage my professional connections to devise a strategy to hold a community outreach and vaccination clinic during the church's regularly scheduled holiday programs.
Some people listening to this might be afraid to approach someone about forming a partnership, but you say they should just get in there and go for it.
I think a lot of people are looking for that roadmap on how to do it and how to make those connections. I think people really might not know the power that they have with just the person that might sit to the left or to the right of them on that pew in church on Sunday morning. Being able to communicate and talk is about trusting someone. It's about supporting someone, but it's also about collective sharing and contributing to shared interests and shared goals. And once we can establish that we have certain shared goals and certain interests, we can come together like ants and move a mountain. All we have to do is put aside those things that derail us or deter us from focusing on the outcome or that common goal. And I think that we can get these things done.
Ultimately, then, it's your view that if you want to have a partnership, you've got to go out and make it happen.
That's just it. You have to make that initial step to get the conversation going. It's about having that initial conversation and understanding and realizing where the common needs are and coming together around those. We do that every Sunday when we get up and go to church, whether it's virtually or whether it's in person. The common goal is worship. So if we're able to do that around addressing lead poisoning in a community, the increasing rates of STDs among youth in our community, or even addressing some of the misinformation that continues to rise with the COVID-19 pandemic, if we just determine and find out that there is a common goal, even if it's just one that we share, I think we can come together and get the work done.
And getting underway is as easy as a conversation?
The call to action is to speak out, to reach out, and to talk through the ones that are nearest to you, whether it be at the dinner table with family members, whether it be with a friend near or far, a conversation on Twitter, or a conversation on Facebook. You will be surprised as a number of people that may have some of the same interests and the common thoughts as you. Once those things are determined, the next step is to organize. And it doesn't have to be formal. Just organize so that you continue to expand the discussion around what it is that you have in common, what it is that you want to do about it, and to discuss some of the potential steps that may be necessary to address it. All it starts is with a simple conversation, a simple nod, a simple hello, a simple conversation, and then you're on your way.
This module is one of six discussions about crisis communications available on demand via this platform. Be sure to listen to all of them. Each one considers a different aspect of the science and art of messaging during an emergency. Also, don't forget to engage the other resources included in this training. That way, you'll be prepared when a crisis comes calling. On behalf of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials and the National Public Health Information Coalition, I'm Robert Johnson. Thanks for listening, and be well.